Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. Are you presently living a life of fulfillment and joy and meaning and power and purpose? The Bible gives us clear and precise principles to follow that we might indeed live such a life. Let's open our Bible now that we might truly learn how to have a life that's overflowing with meaning and purpose and joy in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another teaching. It's a Thursday afternoon here in Texas, and it's just a good time to be studying our Bible, a good time to be spending time with Jesus. We say it all the time, growing to know him, growing to love him, growing to obey him. But above all, we ought to be spending our lives growing to please Jesus in every manner and in every way. We need to be growing in living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus. Ultimately, everything we do ought to be done unto Jesus Christ our Lord. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, today we're going to talk about just the simple path to a fulfilling life. It's not complicated. We're going to discuss it here in Proverbs chapter 2. But just having a fulfilling life, there are things we can do and need to do, should do, if we want to have a life of fulfillment and joy and peace and meaning and purpose. So, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you that we have our Bible. Father, we thank you that our Bible teaches us clearly the path to a fulfilling life, a life of meaning and purpose. But Father, more than anything, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we can never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. All right, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. And what we're talking about today is the path to a life of fulfillment, a life of meaning, a life of purpose. Proverbs chapter 2 is going to give us just a clear path, and all we have to do is follow it. So if you will simply begin to do the things that we talk about today, your life absolutely will have more meaning, more purpose, more power, more joy, more everything. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, now before we get started, it's important that each of us understand that I'm going to give steps. The Proverbs are going to give us steps, things to do so that we will have this life of meaning and fulfillment. But these are only for those who have genuinely received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, if you're not believing in Jesus and Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die, then none of this will work. These will just be worldly principles. They will help you. You will be happier, but you won't have the ultimate deep power, meaning, and purpose that is only available to those who are genuinely in Jesus Christ. So the first step would be to examine your heart and see, am I trusting in Jesus alone? Am I believing in Jesus alone and in his life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins, the salvation of my soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring me to heaven when I die? Are you literally clinging to Jesus alone, knowing that without him, you are a hopeless, helpless, desperate, hell-bound sinner and only an eternity of suffering and hell awaits. It's from that place of knowing that you are utterly sinful and you need a savior, that you run to Jesus, humble yourself before him, right? Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not our words that save us, but have you run to Jesus? Have you called out to him? Have you asked him to come into your heart, to be the Lord of your life, to save you from your sin and to bring you to heaven when you die? It's not our words that save us, but we do use our words to communicate our heart to Jesus. So again, examine your heart. Are you certain that you are trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation, deliverance from hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die? If you're not, simply humble yourself before him now. Stop the tape. You can use the words that I use, but obviously it's the sincerity of your heart that matters. Just go to Jesus in prayer and just humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a hopeless, desperate sinner. I know, Lord Jesus, that without you, only an eternity in hell awaits. But Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, the Son of God. I believe you are God the Son, God Almighty. And Lord Jesus, I do believe that you entered this world, even for me. I do believe you lived that perfect, righteous life that I could never live. I believe that you died that torturous death on the cross that I deserve to die. And I do believe that you're alive and risen today. And therefore, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, to save me from my sin, and to bring me to heaven when I die. Lord Jesus, I place all my faith and hope and trust and confidence in you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So again, it's important we understand it's not just puppeting words, but if you pray that prayer and you're sincere, knowing yourself to be a hopeless, desperate sinner, and you run to Jesus and place your full faith and confidence in him alone to save you, you will be saved. You will receive eternal life. You'll receive spiritual life, and you'll now be in a position to where you can follow these principles and have a life of fulfillment and meaning and purpose and power that you did not know possible. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read verses 1 to 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wow. And it goes on from there. But there are immense biblical principles in here. In our ministry, Kingdom Discipleship, our word for the year, you know, each year we have a word for the year. Last year, I believe it was perspective, right? That's a pretty important word because very few of us as Christians have a proper perspective. Generally, the only perspective we have is what's, you know, what's good for us or what we like or, you know, what we prefer. I've often said that, you know, I see such immaturity in my own life because I am a man of preference. You know, I like what I like, and I need to grow to die to myself and, you know, be willing to meet others what, you know, where, you know, for what they like, you know, and the things that they like and enjoy. But I like my own way. I like things being done in my way, in an orderly way. And certainly much of that is good. But at the same time, I mean, being thoughtful and loving and selfless means to dying to my own wants, my own desires, and my own preference. And, you know, obviously looking to walk with Jesus in the way that he wants and to serve others in a way that, that they're blessed. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, Proverbs chapter 2. So here are the principles for us to follow if we want to have a life as Christians, those in Jesus Christ, of meaning and power and purpose and joy and fulfillment. All right, Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. Here is the base of it all. You're a Christian. You're in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus because it's what it says in your Bible. As a side note, the reason you believe in Jesus is not because your mom told you. It's not because your dad told you. It's not because you were raised in a Christian home. Certainly not because I told you. And it's not even because you believe Jesus has changed your life. All of those things are good, and it's great if Jesus has changed your life. It's great if your parents, your family, your pastor has shared Jesus with you. But the foundational reason you believe in Jesus is because it says it in your Bible. You believe in the biblical Jesus. I've said before, we can't make up our own Jesus. We can't make up our own Jesus. You believe that Jesus died on a cross because it says it in your Bible. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead because it says it in your Bible. You believe that Jesus lived a perfect, righteous, sinless, obedient life because it says it in your Bible. You then believe that Jesus died a torturous death on the cross because it says it in your Bible. Faith is taking God at his word. So it's important then when someone asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? You want to say, because it says it in my Bible. Everything else is superfluous to that. And the first principle is about storing up, accepting the Bible as the Word of God, the living Word of God. It's God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit giving you their word that this is the truth. This is the truth, the entire truth that pertains to who God is, how we can know him, how we can be forgiven of our sin, how we can go to heaven when we die, how we can be delivered from an eternity in hell, and how we can have growing relationship with our triune God. We find that in the Bible and in the Bible alone. In the first principle, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, are you at a place where you accept the Bible as the Word of God? Your Heavenly Father has promised you that this Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, the 39 books of the Old Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament, are the living Word of God. Do you accept that as the Word of God? Do you accept this Bible as the manual for your life? Because Proverbs 2, verse 1 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. So the first principle is to accept this as the word of God, cover to cover, that this is the word of God. You want to study it. You want to get to know it. And you want to be in a church and you want to be around people that know this Bible. Hopefully the reason you listen to these teachings is because you want to know what the scripture says. I have no opinions about anything. You don't want to know any of my opinions. I labor and work to make sure that I'm only teaching you what the Bible says. And that's what I want to think, okay? I should have no opinions and you should have no opinions that are outside the Word of God. Our lives should be about growing to know the Son of God, Jesus, and the Word of God, our Bible. They need to be two sides of the same coin. The Son of God and the Word of God, the Word of God and the Son of God. So it begins, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. How much are you storing up the Word of God in you? We store up a lot of things, okay? I'm afraid to ask how many episodes of a certain Netflix show have you stored up within you? How many episodes of Friends have you stored up within you? I know brothers in Christ that have watched every episode of every season, and I don't know what it is, 10, 12, 15 years, multiple times. That means that they've stored up the TV show Friends within them. Again, how much of an Amazon series on Amazon Prime have you stored up within you? So what do you store up within you? How much Xbox have you stored up within you? You see what I'm getting at? Okay. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, you want to accept the scripture as the word of God and begin to store it up more and more and more. You want to make more and more deposits of the Bible into your heart, into your spirit, into your mind. Now you notice, here's the word if. This won't just happen because you go to church on Sunday. That's a good thing. You should be a part of a good, solid, Bible-based church. But going to church and listening to a 45-minute sermon will not in itself by any means store up the Word of God within you. Hopefully listening to these teachings, and if you listen to these teachings and you hear me teach the Word of God, that will help you store up the Word of God within you. But you need to be spending your own time every day reading your Bible. You can go to our website, kingdomd.org, kingdomd.org. There are multiple Bible plans that we've written. And, you know, you can daily follow a Bible reading plan. But you want to, number one, accept the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. It's your manual for life. And you want to begin to make daily deposits. You can make multiple deposits. Decide that you're going to read, you know, let's say 3 chapters a day. You don't have to do it all at once, but say, man, you're going to, just like you have 3 meals a day. Imagine if you actually stored up the Bible in you and you fed your spirit and soul in the Word of God the same way that you fed your body, right? How often do you put food in your mouth? How often do I stuff food in my face? Imagine if I said, you know what I'm going to do? Every time I put some food in my face, I'm going to put a little Bible in me as well. Every time I have my breakfast, I'm going to get a chapter of the Word of God. Every time I have my lunch, I'm going to get a chapter of the Word of God. Every time I have my dinner, I'm going to get a chapter of the Word of God. Imagine if you stored up the Word of God within you the same way you stored up physical food within you. What is it? Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The scriptures are life to us. So here is the first principle of having a life of meaning and purpose and power, joy and fulfillment. Having a genuinely fulfilling life, it's number one, accepting that your Bible cover to cover is the Word of God and that you're going to spend time storing it up within you. You're going to begin to more and more put more of the Bible in you. And the more the Bible you put in, the more the living Word of God in cooperation with the Son of God. Remember, it's both. It's the Son of God, Jesus, and the Word of God. If you're not in Jesus, the Bible in itself won't help you. It'll certainly help you to have a better life, but it won't have anywhere near the power and the purpose that it would have if you're in Jesus Christ, if you're spiritually alive, if you have eternal life. This is a living Word of God, and it's made for those who are spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. But if you begin to store this up, the Bible itself, the Word of God and the Son of God will begin to change your desires. It'll begin to push out those things that are not good for you. It'll begin to change your heart in Jesus. Wow. All right. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. Verse 2, that's Proverbs 2, verse 1. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. So here's the second principle, okay? Or you could say the third and fourth. So you accept the Bible as the Word of God. you're storing it up within you. You're reading it every day. You're just as you put physical food in your body, you're looking to put spiritual food in your body. You're just making deposits of the Word of God in your spirit every day, multiple times a day. And now the scripture says, turning your ear to wisdom. What do you turn your ear to? Regrettably, most Christians in the church, they don't turn their ear to wisdom. They turn their ear to gossip. And you wonder why you're not having a life of power and meaning and joy and purpose and fulfillment. When someone is willing to talk negatively about someone else outside their presence, a red flag ought to immediately go up in your mind. Everyone has every rationalization for this. It's embarrassing. There are church leaders who, to their own embarrassment, will go home and tell their wife and their children negative things about other people or about what other people said or did, and somehow they rationalize that in their minds that it's okay. They don't understand that it's sinful, it's immature, it's childish. And you know what? We've all done it. So instead of making excuses for it, just repent. You don't need to tell your husband or your wife or your friends or your children what anyone else did wrong or how anyone else failed or how anyone else mistreated you. Now let that sink in. Because one of the biggest reasons you're not living a life of power and meaning and purpose, and many Christians don't even know that they're not, it's because you're not turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to genuine understanding. You're turning your ear to other things, to foolish things, and you're turning your heart to other things. So I'm saying this to make us aware of it. In order to turn your ear to wisdom, you have to turn it away from the foolishness that you listen to and that I listen to throughout each day. And you need to make an effort to not speak into other people's ears the foolishness that you've been doing or the wrongdoing, as you've heard me say. There's just really no need for other people to hear you complain or talk about what other people have done wrong. Again, if you heard me say this and that bothers you, then right away you know you ought to be convicted and you just want to move to repentance, okay? All of us have done it, but here's the thing, it's not okay. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. You want to turn your ears. You want to be listening again to the Word of God. You want to be listening to people who are speaking the Word of God. You want to be listening to people who are helping you have a heart to understand the Word of God and to live your life accordingly. Okay? That's why we do these teachings. Look at verse 3. All right, the next principle. Proverbs 2, verse 3. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Verse 4, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. So now the next principle is going to be, how much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend asking Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit, asking your Heavenly Father for insight? How much do you ask in prayer for your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit? Pray directly to your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, or the Holy Spirit. Don't pray to any human beings alive or dead. No angels, no demons. You could pray to each person of our triune God. We have one God. He's one being, three distinct individual persons. You too are one being. You're a human being, but because you're finite, you're also one person, okay? What you are is a human being. Who you are is Scott or Tom or Stephen or Kayla or Jesse or May, okay? What God is God, okay? Who he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And your relationship is not with the generic being God, but with each person of God. Remember, God is one being, three separate individual parts or persons, and you can't have a personal relationship without a person, okay? So you want to, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, how much time do you spend in prayer, earnest prayer? You could go to your Heavenly Father or Jesus Christ our Lord or the Holy Spirit once, twice, three times, 10 times a day. You don't have to pray for 5, 10, 15 minutes at a time. You could pray for a minute. Imagine if starting today, you began to pray, you went to your Heavenly Father twice a day, and really prayed for wisdom and understanding in all the various areas of your life. And then a couple of times a day, you went to the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, I do ask you to give me wisdom about how to manage this situation in my life. I ask you to give me wisdom on how I could be a better husband. I ask you to give me wisdom and understanding on how I can be a better father. And then you went to Jesus a couple of times a day and you were calling out for insight and you were crying aloud, Lord Jesus, help me to understand. Help me to understand really what it means to be a man or woman that serves you more and that loves you more. Help me to understand what it means to be truly forgiving. Help me to understand what it means to be living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus. Look at verse 4 said, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Imagine if you pursued knowing the word of God, praying for wisdom, praying for understanding, storing up the word of God within you. Imagine if you actually had a heart to do this in the same way that you have a heart to make money. Okay? Almost all Christians, everybody wants to be more comfortable, right? We're all more comfortable when we have more money than less money. We all want to be able to pay our bills, and that's understandable. But imagine the time and effort that you put into making money. If you put that same time an effort into really knowing the word of God, storing up the word of God in you. And you took time and effort each day throughout the day to really pray to your Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, our Lord and the Holy Spirit, asking them to help you to just have a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and how you can know him more, how you can love him more and how you can please him more. Wow. And finally, verse 5, if you will do all these things, if you'll apply these principles to your heart and to your life and your walk with Jesus, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Verse 8, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Verse 9, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Verse 11, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Well, there it is. Do you want to have a life of fulfillment and joy and purpose and power and meaning? If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do that now. Go back, rewind the tape, humble yourself before Jesus, acknowledge yourself as a desperate, hopeless sinner, and receive him. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. And then from there, begin to apply these principles. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 4. Okay? Accept the Bible as the word of God. Begin to store up that word of God in you more and more and more and more. And it's okay to store up a little bit less Netflix. It's okay to store up a little bit less Instagram. Okay? It's okay to store up a little bit less Xbox. Store up the scriptures in you. Begin as you feed yourself physical food each day, feed yourself spiritual food. When you eat breakfast, say, I'm going to get a chapter. I'm going to get a snack. I'm going to go chapter in my Bible. Okay? Again, turn your ear to wisdom. Begin to turn away, first of all, from unproductive conversations and look to listen look to be around people that are wanting to grow in wisdom and understanding. And you yourself begin to speak wisdom and understanding, speaking the truth of the word of God to others so you could help them turn their ear to wisdom and apply their heart to understanding. And finally, begin to pray more and more. Begin to earnestly pray and cry out to your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit to help you in all these things. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you that you've given us this manual, Lord. We thank you that we have just a clear path that we might have a life of fulfillment and joy and power and meaning and purpose. Lord Jesus, we worship you and thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us of this now. We ask you to seal this to our hearts. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.